Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Philadelphia. From 2001 to 2006, he was a marketing manager for Costco Wholesale. And from 2010 to 16, he was the director of retail operations for CVS Health. Since 2018, he's been the founder and CEO of Purpose Point, which is the creator of inspiring events and impactful experiences such as the Purpose Summit, which brings hundreds of leaders together from around the world each year. His name, Devin Salvagno, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Prasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Devin Salvagno, who is the CEO and founder of Purpose Point. Devin, welcome, an honor to have you.
Jack, it's truly an honor and privilege to be here. Thank you so very much for having me today.
Can you start this evening with an opening prayer, please?
I would absolutely love to. Thank you. Father, thank you so much for our time together today on the show. Thank you for Jack and for his work and being the spotlight on so many people whose lives you've shown your glory through, proving that anything is possible and everything is possible with you. We just ask that you would establish the words of our mouth today as we share a conversation of what you've done, of what you are doing, and we look forward to what you continue to do for your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Devin. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Yeah, so as you mentioned in the introduction, I grew up in the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. I'm 100% Italian, so I've come from Italian heritage. I know we were talking a little bit about how to say my name coming into this, and so my name is pronounced Salvagno. The GN has that Italian kind of, or that Spanish tilde, that Nia. But we grew up in an Italian Catholic home in South Philadelphia, right on Broad Street. A lot of people know Philly for Rocky and the Broad Street Bullies, and so I've ran that street and those steps many times. Grew up a big Philly sports fan. Lived there for the first half of my life, and I've now lived in Michigan for the second half of my life. Michigan has now become home, but they say, Jack, you know, you can take the boy out of Philly, but you can't take Philly out of the boy. So my accent might come in a few times as we talk a little bit, if we talk too much about that city.
All right, Rocky. What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Wow. You know, it was an interesting childhood because, you know, my parents, I've learned something from each of them. I learned from my mom that, you know, family is everything. It's very important. You know, she's constantly, you know, reminding us of, you know, every person's birthday. Make sure you text them. Make sure you tell them, you know, how much you appreciate them today. And so I learned how important family is from mom. And then, you know, from dad, work ethic. My dad was and is one of, you know, the hardest people, hardest working people that I've known. And, you know, my parents divorced when I was 5 years old, and we went to go live with my grandparents. And so a lot of what I've learned from my mom and my dad, I learned actually later in life, because there's a lot of those childhood memories that are kind of absent. I have a lot more memories of my time being raised by my grandparents while they were figuring some things out. But we learn a lot about our parents when we become parents. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned the most from my parents over the last 12 years that I've been a parent myself.
All right. In 2001, you meet Jim Sinegal, the founder of Costco Wholesale. And he hires you. And from 2001 to 2006, you work for him and he mentors you. Tell us about Sinegal.
I never imagined that I would meet Jim Sinegal. That was an interesting happenstance. You know, at the time, I was working at a restaurant, believe it or not, on Hall Road here in Michigan. and they could clear a whole bunch of land, and they started putting up this big thing called Costco. And at that time, no one really knew what Costco was. It had just entered the market in Michigan. They had stores across the country, but it was new to this market. And I, you know, wanted to start working for a company that I know that I could grow with. And I wanted to get out of the restaurant scene. And I was young. I was, you know, 18 years old at the time that I knocked on this trailer door, construction trailer door, to work for this company. And, you know, they hired me. They don't hire anyone externally, regardless of what your background is. And so I was a manager of a restaurant at 18 years old. I was, you know, a young manager. And I'm thinking I can just walk into Costco and become a manager. And I'll never forget, Mike Robillard was the name of the warehouse manager, opens the trailer door and said, I want to work at Costco. I want to be one of your managers. And he says, well, we don't hire managers from the outside. We're only hiring cashiers and stock boys. And I said, well, you know, what are the growth opportunities look like? And he said, well, if you work hard and you're the right fit for our culture, you know, you should be able to be a manager in no time. And so I took a big risk and got a job initially as a cashier working for them. And within 2 weeks, I was a supervisor for them. And then within a couple months, I was a manager for them. So they fast-tracked the program. But because it was a new market, you know, Jim Sinegal, he had this office in Seattle, Washington, actually Issaquah, Washington, where their headquarters is. And his office was composed of nothing but one of those Lifetime pop-up folding tables and a folding chair. There was nothing else in it. And the reason why is because he was never there. Jack, he had this thing where at the time they had 200 and some stores, and he said, I'm going to spend one full day in every single Costco there is in the country. And he would go travel them all. And he would spend that time. He'd walk in, he'd meet with people, ask what's going well, what could they be doing better. He was a walking, talking engagement survey before engagement surveys were a thing. And so since we were brand new to the market in Michigan, he came to visit the store in Michigan, and I had just been promoted to a manager of the store, and I'll never forget. He walked in, and he had his, you know, khaki pants on, button-down shirt, name tag that just said Jim, no title, and he walked up, and he shook my hand, and he said, hey, I'm Jim, what's your name? And of course, he could see my name. It said Davin on my name badge, but he wanted to ask me, and so I said, well, my name's Davin. Jim, it's a pleasure to meet you. I've heard a lot about you, and he said, Davin, it's great to meet you. Let me ask you a question. Why do you work at Costco? What is it that we're doing well? What could we be doing better? And I walked and I watched this guy take a genuine interest in every single employee that was there and the reason that they were there and asking them how they can make the place better for themselves and for the customers every single day. And from that point forward, Jack, I learned that one of the most important things about business and just in leadership is just this approachability of, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've accomplished in life, but taking a genuine interest in others and understanding their perspective and learning from the perspectives of those around you to make the environment that you're in better for everyone.
The famous quote, don't tell me how much you know until you show me how much you care.
That's exactly right.
All right, looking back these past 40 years, Davin, Costco, fantastic growth and success. What's amazed you the most about them?
You know, one of the things that is absolutely incredible, and to this day, I still shop at the Costco that's 2 miles from my house, and it's like walking into a time machine, Jack. I walk in there, and almost half of the people in that store are the same people that have been there since 2001 when I met Jim Sinegal, which is amazing when you think about it. I mean, 22 years have gone by. The world has changed a lot. And people continue to be in not just there, but in the same roles they've been. And the reason why is because, you know, there's a lot of companies that they have a lot of employee handbooks and rules and regulations, and those are necessary. But, you know, someone once said to me, and I've never forgotten this quote, in almost every case, simpler is better. And so Costco had a very simple model. Jim's had this, his employee handbook, if you will, was one page. And it said, number one, obey the law. Number two, take care of our employees. Number three, take care of our customers. Number four, take care of our vendors. And then there was a line, and it said, if we do those four things well, we'll do what every company does and wants to do, which is to reward its shareholders. And you know what? That simple five-step process has been proven so true, because if you look, they take such good care of their employees that no one ever wants to leave because they follow the simple process. And so I go in there and it's like stepping back in the time because I see the same people, same faces, treating each other with the same love and respect that I saw 22 years ago.
We're talking to Devin Salvagno. In 2004, he met somebody else that transformed his life. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that meeting. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Devin Salvagno. Devin, 2004, I quote you, I came to Christ.
I did. You know, it's such an amazing story, and we could take the whole show talking about this, so I'll try to keep it short, but it's amazing how God works in your life. You know, I was raised Catholic. I went to church. I didn't really have a relationship with Christ. I could say that I had a relationship specifically with, you know, just overall believing in God and knowing that, you know, God was at the center of everything that was happening in my life. And there, you know, everything in my life didn't go the way that I had planned or hoped, and I had a lot of questions. And so I was always inquisitive as to, you know, why things happen the way that they do. And, you know, I'm big into music. I listen to a lot of music. I play music and worship at our church now. And in 2004, I was listening to a lot of Christian music back then, and I went to a leadership conference that was not related to church. But while I was down there, I went to a non-denominational church service, which was the first time that I had ever been to a church service that was not a Catholic mass. And I walked in, and this worship band comes out, and they play these three songs that I knew, and they captivated me. And, you know, I just felt the Holy Spirit moving tremendously in that moment. And then a pastor came out, and he started preaching, and then he talked about, you know, who Jesus was and what he had done for us and this relationship that we can have with him. And, you know, I had so many questions, and I just watched The Passion of the Christ. And that movie captivated me because, you know, I'm like, well, if Jesus is God, why didn't he just stop this? I mean, the scene of him being, you know, brutally scarred on the back and just the, I mean, if you've seen it, you know, I'm talking about it. And so many times I just sat and said, he could just put an end to this all and just smite them. Why doesn't he do it? And so I never opened a Bible, and I came back from that conference with so many questions, and I started reading the Bible. And anyone who knows me knows I love coffee. And so there was literally one night that I actually stayed up all night long. I pulled a 24-hour at a coffee shop that was open 24 hours, reading the Bible for the first time. And that week, this is that same week I was at that leadership conference, I had come back. It was 3 days later. And that service that was down in Greensboro, North Carolina, at that leadership conference where I gave my life to Christ, changed my life. And over the next 3 days, as I'm reading and I'm asking God for all these questions to be answered, something amazing happens. I get a phone call from my mom on Wednesday, 3 days after this leadership conference. And she says, I'm still working at Costco at the time. And she says, could you take our friend Olga to church? And I said, yeah, sure, but isn't church on Sunday? And she goes, well, apparently they have a Wednesday service that she likes to go to, but her husband can't take her tonight. Can you take her? So I take her. I walk into this church service, walk in with her, sit down in the pew, and this worship band comes out, and they play the same three songs, Jack, that I just heard 3 days earlier in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then the pastor comes out and speaks on the same exact verses that I just heard in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, growing up Catholic, I know that most churches have the same kind of cadence across the country. So I asked Olga, I said, do you guys have a church in Greensboro, North Carolina? And she goes, no, this is our only church. And so God got my attention because I'm thinking, what are the odds that there would be the same exact three songs, the same exact message, 3 days apart in two completely different states, and God had gotten my attention.
All right. From 2010 to 2016, you worked for CVS, Director of Retail Ops, and they groomed you. For 2 years, they groomed you to be their VP of HR. And after 2 years, they offered you $500,000 a year. That was back in 2016. What'd you say?
I said no. And it was, you know, the journey took a little bit more than that. I went to go work for them in 2010, and that was an amazing God story. And you'll notice as we talk about these, there's a lot of God formations, as I call them, kind of like the story I shared about the worship team and the message being the same in Greensboro. But I was playing hockey with the vice president of Macy's at the time, and I was talking a lot about culture and how company culture is so very, very important, especially as you grow by acquisition. And there was a short period of time, you know, prior to Costco that I worked for Macy's, where I had done some culture work with them, and a headhunter from CVS had reached out to me and said, you know, hey, we're growing quickly by acquisition and we need some help on the culture side of things. And so I went to go work for them initially on the operations side, running an area of stores for them. And then working very closely with their HR team, and then became an HR business partner for them. And then their area vice president was the one who was grooming me to be VP of HR specifically for him. And I'll never forget, I was in Chicago and I was at a conference, and he had called me on my cell phone and said, "Davin, I want you to come and work for me and be my VP of HR." And he made me a very significant offer, as you shared, which was not public. And there's probably some people that are going to be listening to this who are saying, how could you possibly say no to that? But the reality is, I had a one-year-old and a four-year-old. I have a beautiful wife named Amy, now beautiful daughter named Vera, who's 12, amazing son named Bennett, who's 9. And at that time, I knew that saying yes to that offer and saying yes to that lifestyle meant getting on a plane on Monday, coming home on Friday, and being a two-day-a-week husband and father. And I wasn't prepared to sacrifice the best years of my kid's life for a paycheck. And so I said no.
You had read a book by Bob Buford that really helped you in that decision. The book?
The book is called Halftime. And, you know, that book has changed my life more than any other book other than the Bible. I tell people that constantly. You know, Bob Buford talks about how we are conditioned in this world for success, but we are created for significance. And so our entire lives, we're told, go to school, get a great education, find a great company to work for them for 30 years, retire, get the gold watch, and then start living your life. And, you know, always, you know, strive to climb and get the next promotion, get the next raise, get the next house, get the next car, you know, get more followers in today's society on social media, you know, become an influencer, all of these things, put yourself in the spotlight, get this life of success. That's what the world tells us to do. And Bob Buford argues that no matter how much success and notoriety you achieve in this world, you're always going to want more. It's always going to be unfulfilling. There's always going to be a part of you that feels unfulfilled. And the reason why is because you weren't created to be fulfilled by success, by things, by fame. You were created to be fulfilled by purpose, by significance. And so that changed my entire perspective to start seeking purpose, to start finding purpose, to start looking at what is God doing in any moment in time with whatever gifts, talents, and abilities he's given me. And am I showing up and being the fullest version of myself in any moment in time? And that started guiding my decisions rather than pursuing success.
And as a follow-through of that, in 2018, you start something called Purpose Point. When we come back, we'll talk about that fabulous chapter in your life. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Davin Salvagno. If you want to learn more, www.purposepoint.com. Purposepoint.com. Davin, 2018, you start Purpose Point. What was the goal? What was the purpose when you first started?
You know, we were talking a little about my time with CVS, and I learned a lot during my 7 years with them. And, you know, one of the things that I learned was that there's a lot of companies that put together mission statements and they talk about, you know, why they exist and the difference that they want to make. And when I was there, I met the founders of CVS, two guys who started the company, who had this original purpose, if you will, or what I now call purpose points, for why they started the company. And I was inspired by their story. And one of the things that I've recognized over time is that as companies grow older, larger, and bigger, they forget about their original purpose point. Every company starts with a purpose, something that they want to do that makes an impact on the lives of those that they serve, that whether it's a product, a service, something that they put together. Patrick Lencioni, one of my favorite authors today, says that the purpose of every company is to help improve the quality of human life in some way. And so you could argue that every company has a product or a service that does that, but they don't focus as much as they should on the actual impact and the difference their product and their service offers. And a lot of times their employees don't even know what that is. But in the early stages, they tell people all about it. They invite people to be a part of this purpose. Come be a part of this thing that we're doing, this difference that we're making. And then they put processes in place to support the people to achieve the purpose. And then they start measuring performance and they start turning a profit. But all too often, they start focusing more on process, performance, and profit and spend less time focusing on their purpose and their people. And so in 2016, I was on a flight coming back from a meeting with the president of CVS Pharmacies, and I had talked about the founding purpose point of CVS. And we were struggling. We were growing. We were very profitable. But there was this real tension between profit and purpose. And so I had a conversation with God on that flight, and I said, you know, there needs to be someone or something that helps companies remember the original purpose for why they started and help to inspire their people around that purpose and what it is they're part of and the difference that they can make. And so almost as clear as day, Jack, on that flight, God said, I want you to leave CVS and I want you to start a consulting company, call it Purpose Point, and help companies remember the purpose for which they started, help them tell their story to their employees, and inspire them to make a difference every day.
All right, then in 2019, you decide to hold the first Purpose Summit, a multi-day event. Various speakers come in, and you went to Chris Lambert, who is the founder and president of Life Remodeled, whose mission is to remodel lives one neighborhood at a time. Amazing person with amazing hair. and he leases the Durfee Middle Elementary School that was built almost 100 years ago. Talk about that first Purpose Summit.
Yeah, and that's another God formation moment that is just amazing how this came together. Purpose Point, I initially started it as what I thought was going to be my thing. And very quickly, God showed me that it wasn't supposed to be my thing. It was supposed to be his thing. And I met some amazing other people on the way. I met Kurt David, who has an Emmy Award winning producer and former athlete and public speaker. And he was traveling, talking a lot about individual purpose. And I was traveling a lot, talking about organizational purpose. And I said, you know, what if Purpose Point was this place where individual purpose and organizational purpose meet? What if we could help not only companies remember what their purpose is, but we could help people understand what their purpose is at work every day and help them see how they can connect what they do every day, their individual purpose, to the purpose of the organization, and watch what Hubert Joly talks about. Hubert Joly is the former CEO of Best Buy. He wrote an amazing book called The Heart of Business. Phenomenal, phenomenal book. And he talks about when you can connect individual purpose and organizational purpose, this thing called human magic happens. There's this almost amplification of impact that no other power can create. And so we had this vision before that book was written of connecting individual and organizational purpose. And so I said, well, why don't we hold a two-day event and call it the Purpose Summit, where individual and organizational purpose can come together. And we knew some friends who spoke on individual organizational purpose. Let's bring them all in the same room. And we were initially going to do it at the Fisher Theater here in Detroit. And it was actually Kurt's idea. Said, you know, what about Chris Lambert? He's a good friend of yours. And they have that brand new building called Durfee that they're trying to repurpose and remodel and do a big difference in this community. What if we did it there to help draw attention to that space? So I called Chris and said, Chris, we've got this event. We'd love to do it at Durfee. Would you have us? Chris was very gracious and offered us the space. And we did it there. We had no money. We had no marketing. We had no time. We had 4 months to plan this thing, pure word of mouth. And over 300 people and companies from across the country came, Jack. And it was an absolutely transformative 2 days.
Well, then you went to a Division II place in 2022, 2023 called the University of Notre Dame, South Bend. How did you ever get and convince that iconic place to let you come there?
Well, anything is possible with God, Jack, right? And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, the summit happened in 2019 here in Detroit. And then in 2020, we were going to do it again, but COVID happened. So we had to cancel the summit. In 2021, we did it again in the Detroit market, but we did it in the city of Mount Clemens. And we had to get very creative. And I have to tell you this story to understand how we ended up at the University of Notre Dame. So in 2021, we had to figure out how to do the summit in a time when conferences and seminars were not allowed to happen in Michigan due to COVID regulations. However, theaters were allowed to have theater experiences of up to 300 people in them. Schools were allowed to have classroom events with up to 25 people in a classroom. And you were allowed to have outdoor events under a tent, open-air tent, you know, without the side panels, of up to 500 people. So we got very creative. And in the city of Mount Clemens, we rented the Emerald Theater and had 300 people in the theater. We closed Walnut Street and put tents outside and had projector screens of what was going on inside the theater. And we partnered with Oakland University and had breakout sessions in the classroom that were in the Macomb campus of Oakland University, right across Walnut Street from the Emerald Theater. And we did this in-person, virtual, inside, outside, hybrid version of the summit over 3 days. Well, one of the companies that came to that event is a company called Lippert, L-I-P-P-E-R-T. They are a very large manufacturing company, $7 billion publicly traded company out of South Bend, Indiana. And their vice president of leadership and culture came to the summit with her 26 people that are part of her team as a leadership retreat. And we invited her to actually speak at the summit and tell their story of what they were doing in terms of culture at Lippert. And it was phenomenal talk, Jack. And at the end of her talk, she comes to the back of the room and she says, "This was one of the most amazing leadership conferences I've ever been to. We would like to partner with you to bring this to Indiana." And I said, "Well, where would we do it in Indiana?" And she said, "Well, how about the University of Notre Dame?" And I said, "We could do that?" And she said, "Well, I also happen to be the mental performance coach for Notre Dame football and an associate professor there. Let me make a call." So she makes a call, and 2 weeks later, Notre Dame is all too happy and gracious to host the Purpose Summit.
Unbelievable. We're with Devin Salvagno, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible with God on 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Devin Salvagno, the founder and CEO of Purpose Point. The next Purpose Summit is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's going to be April 29th of 2024. If you want to learn about it, thepurposesummit.com. Thepurposesummit.com. All right. You had 20 speakers back in May in Notre Dame. And the keynote speaker at the end was a 40-year-old man, who, by the way, has been on this show four times, the best guest we've ever had, in 850 guests. 2.8 billion people, with a B, around the world have listened to him. His name's Nick Vujicic. How did you ever convince Nick Vujicic to come from Dallas, Texas, to your talk?
Well, again, another God formation moment. So good friend of mine and also happens to be my literary and speaking agent, Scott Jeffrey Miller. Scott Jeffrey Miller, he's the former executive vice president and chief marketing officer of Franklin Covey. And he's also a 7-time best-selling author. He's written 7 books in the last 5 years. But we've had him at the Purpose Summit for the last 3 years. He came to Mount Clemens in 2021. He came to Notre Dame in 2022 and 2023. And for each of those 3 years, Jack, Scott kept on saying to me, you need to have Nick speak at the Purpose Summit. And I said, I would love to have Nick speak at the Purpose Summit, but I can't afford to have Nick come speak at the Purpose Summit. As you know, Nick is an incredibly powerful speaker and human being who, if you're in the same room with, changes your entire perspective on life. And so Scott said, well, let me reach out to Nick and let me see what we could do. And so Scott reached out to Nick and introduced Nick and I. And Nick and I had an hour-long conversation that was just amazing. Or as we both like to say, it was so, so good. And he agreed to come to the summit. And so we had to make some things happen, but he showed up there. And as you mentioned, was our closing speaker for the summit. And then afterwards, he and I had a wonderful lunch, and we've been dreaming ever since of some amazing things that we have in store next, some of which conversations you have been instrumental in.
He's known as the Limbless Evangelist. The man was born with no limbs. Nick, VUJICIC.com. He's the most complete man I've ever met in my life.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of which, what have these Purpose Summits taught you, Devin Salvagno?
I don't think anyone has actually asked me that question, Jack. That's a great question. You know, what's amazing is I think we tend to put people on massive pedestals because of what they've accomplished in their life, the notoriety, their fame, their followers, their titles. You know, someone who you recently interviewed, who's a good friend of mine, Gary Ridge, former CEO of WD-40 for 25 years, right? This massive company. You know how hard it is to be the CEO of a company like WD-40 for 25 years? That's very unusual.
Which phenomenal growth and success.
Phenomenal, right? You know, and they do culture better than almost any other company I've ever seen, you know, and they're all over the world. And, you know, a lot of people think that they make oil in a can, but you know, Gary will tell you, no. We exist to make memories in the lives of our tribe members. They don't call them employees, our tribe members, their families, our workers and, you know, across the world, and those that use our products, you know, they're in the memory making business, he will tell you. And of course, you can listen to Jack's episode on that to learn more about them. But, you know, I met someone like a Gary Ridge through the Purpose Summit, and I've met hundreds of people like Gary Ridge through the Purpose Summit that, you know, before the Purpose Summit, I would have thought were just unapproachable or unattainable. But one of the things that I realized, Jack, is that regardless of what level of success or notoriety or title that we achieve in this world, regardless of, you know, what company, whether it's, you know, Fortune 5, 10, or 100, everyone at the end is a human being. Everyone has a purpose within them. Everyone wants to truly make a difference in this world. And I have met some of the most approachable, genuine, authentic people on the planet through the Purpose Summit who've not gotten caught up in their ego, their titles, or their accomplishments, who just do what, you know, John Maxwell said. They want to make a difference doing something with people that makes a difference.
All right. Some people would say, this Devin, nice guy, good talker, handsome, Italiano, a little naive. I got to give it to him. He's been successful with these things, but I recently heard this quote from you, Devin. We lose sight of purpose the moment we begin to focus on what we can gain rather than on what we have to contribute. Mm. That, sir, don't work in today's world.
Well, I would challenge that it does, but you have to look for it. You know, I was actually thinking about this, Jack, on the way here. I kid you not. I was driving here. I was driving down 94, you know, and you and I are talking about, you know, doing a big event here in Detroit. And one of the things that I was thinking about was there's this motto, and it actually happens to be one of our values at Purpose Point. We've got 4 values at Purpose Point. Our 4 values are very simple. Number 1 is others over self. We focus on others over self, which is the essence of the quote that you just wrote. You know, second is collaboration over competition, significance over success, and then transformation over transaction. Those are our four values. And I thought, you know, there's really two types of people in this world. There's those that are self-focused, and there's those that are others-focused. And I would argue that the ones that are actually making the biggest difference in the world, who don't get the spotlight, the unsung heroes, the ones that at some point I would love to figure out how to do the largest free event for on the planet to bring them all together, are those that are others-focused. Those that are truly sharing their gifts, talents, and abilities, accomplishments, resources that they have access to with the world to make the world and those around them a better place. The problem is, the world doesn't shine the spotlight on them. And so since they don't get the spotlight, people think that, well, it doesn't work in today's society. No, it does. I've seen it countless times. It's just that the world doesn't get to see it as much as they should.
If you want to learn more, www.purposepoint.com. And next April 29th, Charlotte, North Carolina, 2024 Purpose Summit, www.thepurposesummit.com. As we close tonight, can you lead us in a short closing prayer?
Yes. Father, I thank you so much for this conversation with Jack. I thank you for each and every single moment that you have shaped this journey that I've been grateful to be a part of. I thank you for Jack's willingness to share this story. I thank you for each person who's listened to this episode and is wondering, what does purpose and significance look like in my life? Have I been too busy chasing success? Has my ladder been up against the wrong wall? Have I bought the lie that I have to focus on myself and what I can gain, and in the process have been robbed of the purpose that you would have for them, Lord? I pray that you would move hearts and minds of those listening to this today to help them see opportunities to live out their purpose in every moment and every day to make the lives of those around them and this world a better place for your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Heavenly Father, keep directing Davin to keep transforming lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Spoken. Believe in yourself.